more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining.
This morning I want to jumpstart something that is in no way original to me, and that is why I wanted to share it with you, one of the reasons. And that is, I always like to promote other people who are helping people change and improve their lives. And I cannot recommend highly enough a man named Gay Hendricks. If you have not heard of him, I highly recommend you check him out. Gay Hendricks wrote a book that a friend of mine recommended to me a few years later. Now, the interesting thing was, if there was a book that my friend needed to read, and he said he had read it, it was this particular book. And sometimes we read books and we go, wow, that's amazing. That's everything I needed to learn in my life. You know, I get sometimes where I'm reading a book and I'm like, this is the book I've been waiting for. I can't wait to read it again. And then, of course, life is like a stream. It meanders around this rock and that rock. And so sometimes we find the solutions we're looking for. Or what we hopefully do is find the solutions we are looking for in that moment. And they are such that we can then bring that with us going forward in life. So this particular book, highly recommended, is called The Big Leap. And remember, when I say I read this book, in most cases, I'm talking about audiobooks. I'm a big fan of Audible. I've got a professional membership or the big membership, whatever it is. I've had it forever. So I highly recommend Audible to listen to books, but you can get them on Amazon. You can get them audiobooks. You can get them on Apple. And by the way, all of my books are available except for To You Love God, because it's a daily devotional as an audiobook from one of those platforms. So let's jump into this. What is upper limiting? The way Hendricks first describes it in his book is that he talks about how his daughter has just been, he has just taken his daughter to camp a week or so before, and he realizes that his daughter is settling in there at camp, and that he was thinking about his daughter, and he's having lunch with a friend, and while they're having lunch, he's telling his friend about what a wonderful time he's sure his daughter is having at camp. Now, he then goes back to his office to get to work, and while he's working, he starts to become a little bit worried about his daughter. What if she's not having a good time at camp? He begins to think about the time he was at camp and the time he once had a really bad time at camp. And so all of a sudden, things started to just cascade on top of his mind or thoughts that were negative about his daughter, to the point where he picked up the phone about an hour later and was almost panicked and called the camp counselor and asked to speak to his daughter. And they said, no, she's having a wonderful time. She said, this is actually quite common to have someone call a family member or parent worried that the child is not having a good time. And she said, we don't even want to plant those thoughts in their head. She's having a great time. And it's not like he was being obstructed from talking to his child. His fears were calmed. And then he began to realize how often in his life he would have a good thought and then he would have a bad thought, almost as if to counter the good thought. The good thought comes into his mind because he notices something he's happy, he's grateful for, he appreciates, and then almost as if of its own accord, there's a negative thought that comes on top of it. Now, ask yourself, do you experience this? You may experience it and not even realize it. That is true of a lot of people. And he calls it upper limiting. The reason is you get to a certain level of happiness, comfort, whatever, and you think a negative thought, or as most of us know all too well, and I'm going to fully disclose a lot of stuff this morning, we self-sabotage. We sabotage ourselves. It's because of our self-image, to be honest with you. Our self-image can, it's like a thermostat. And if it sees things going too well, it then causes us to consciously or subconsciously bring things down a little bit. Let me give you some examples of this in my own life. Back when I was selling radio advertising in my late 20s in Seattle, Washington, I discovered something. Bear with me. Some might even call that upper limiting. Anyway, let's get back to it. I was selling radio advertising in Seattle, Washington, so my job was to go around and call on prospective clients. I remember one time I walked in to this business, and I won't talk about the business, but I walked into this business, and they were a perfect fit for advertising on our radio station. We were the number one 65-plus demographic. It was a beautiful music radio station, and that was their target demographic. More than that, their each person who came through the door typically spent several thousand dollars. So for them to have spent many tens of thousands of dollars investing on our radio station made a ton of sense. And I went in, I met with the owner who had a partner, and he was like ready to go. And I went back, I produced radio commercials, and then for about a month, I could not seem to get myself to call on him again. Not to call him, not to stop by, no, nothing. And finally, after about 6 weeks of upper limiting, and that's what I was doing, it looked like it was going to go so easily, so well. This was too good for me, so I had to screw this up. That's what upper limiting is. And so I just didn't go see the guy for a month or two. And finally, when I did, I talked to him about wanting to see his partner, and he said, my partner doesn't want to see you. He wanted to see you 2 months ago, but he doesn't want to see you now. So, obviously, nothing came of the campaign. They didn't advertise with us. That is one of many, many, many ways I have sabotaged myself in my life. And what I want to ask you is, how have you done this? I forget who said it, but there's some statement to the fact that to see the higher and choose the lower is the definition of a coward. And I think in so many ways, we are cowards in our own life. To get, to become, to do, to have what we want, we've got to be brave, simply because there's a lot of other people wanting to pull us down. There's a wonderful story. Some of it's apocryphal, but I can tell you what I know of it. And that is a story of a group of monkeys, rhesus monkeys, if I'm not mistaken, that were put into a cage, and there was some food dangled above their heads, and there were some blocks they could stack up. Well, every time the monkeys, according to the story, stacked the blocks up, they got blasted with water. When they got blasted with water, the blocks and they came tumbling down. I know this sounds terrible. So, what ultimately happened? Well, they put some new monkeys in there, and they stopped blasting the blocks once the monkeys gave up. And the new monkeys were then pulled down off the blocks by the old monkeys. Pretty amazing. People will try and limit our happiness, our health, and our success simply because they don't want us to remind them that they are not giving it their all. Do you upper limit yourself? Do you find yourself, if things get to being so good a certain amount of time that you have to figure out some way to screw it up? Did you think that that's just a life pattern? Again, let me share a couple of mine with you. Here's one. I am chronically late. Now, in the last year, I have gotten so much better at it. However, it's so easy to raise your blood pressure and make yourself feel bad about yourself by all of a sudden, you can't find your keys. Isn't that interesting? Your keys are there, and then they typically are in the most obvious place. That's one that I tend to do, or stack too many things on myself such that I don't get to do the things that I say are important to myself. Upper limiting is a tool of the ego. it's designed to sort of make you feel bad about yourself, which increases its control in your life. The ego, of course, is the dark and negative side in your life. Upper limiting is what prevents you from doing a little bit more, doing a little bit better. Here's another example of me upper limiting, just to try and see if you can resonate with any of these. As I've said many times, going to the gym is, being at the gym working out, that is not difficult at all. Going to the gym is difficult. It is way more difficult to get my feet in my shoes and my butt in my car and my legs in the gym than it is to work out. And once I start, I used to have this like very stringent program that I would do. And yet, of course, I'd get tired as I'm getting towards the end. And what I would do is I would say to myself, I'll finish up these last two sets on my chest or my arms or whatever tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Knowing full well it was a lie. It was a way of upper limiting myself. So I want to tell you, number one, stop beating yourself up for upper limiting yourself. It's normal. We all do it. You're not unique. Look around you. A lot of people do. Number two, become aware of when you do it and declare that's what it is. Man, I just upper limited myself. I use it as a verb, something that I do. Man, I'm just upper limiting, or I just upper limited myself. And again, I highly recommend this book. You can listen to it in a few hours and it will change your life. The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. Watch when you upper limit yourself. You're doing it. Realize that we all do it, and figure out ways to, in just one way, find one thing that you normally upper limit yourself and work not to do it. One of the things that I've done, like I said, I used to always be late. And back when the yoga studio was open this year, I think I was one of the first students there every single day. It just takes a commitment to doing it. And you're going to subconsciously mess yourself up. You're going to lose your wallet. You're going to lose your license, not your license, but your keys. I do it anyway. Become aware of it. Realize you're not alone, and work to stop doing it. Why? Because you deserve all the things you want to do, become, and have. You do. All right, let's see what everybody has to say before we take off for our complaint-free meditation program. Hillary Clifford, a top fan, says checking in from Littleton. Good to see you, Hillary. Thank you. Ashley Day, good morning, Ashley. Glad to have you here. Linda Farrell is also a top fan, and she is here. And I think I said hello to Joan before. Good morning, says Lynn. A little late. Having breakfast with the grandkids, 7 and 1. I will have to come back later and hear the replay. This sounds like a good one. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say. Be sure and leave your questions and comments. I respond to them all. If you would like to change your life forever and for good, check out the Complaint Free Life program, www.complaintfreelife.com. And I want to say thank you to Trish Parr and to Mike Nagy, who have both sent me little review testimonials for the Complaint Free Meditation program. I look forward to sharing those with you. Everybody, make it a great day, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow when we're going to talk about... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, this is an interesting concept. Somebody brought this up the other day. I'm calling it COVID regrets. It's not what you think. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Enjoy today. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. Flying high, creating a complaint-free